Episode 402. Is that you, Nancy Drew? And other news.
Forgot that other news part.
Yeah. It rhymed the whole way through.
Oh, yeah, that's
402.
Good.
Is that you, Nancy Drew? Other news.
Wow, that's amazing. I almost want to do it again.
Should we?
Let's just keep everything. That's,
okay.
Do it again. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to try and get a little meter in there.
All right.
Episode 402. Is that you, Nancy Drew? And other news. That's beautiful.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Ben Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono. We're back.
Yeah. Ben, did we skip news last week?
Yes, we did.
Okay. I was
wondering why
do I have so much?
Yeah, because we did episode 400 and Dune.
Oh, right. 400 and Dune?
Yeah. And now we're doing 400 and Tune.
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, everybody, we're back with some news, and then next episode is going to be all about X-Files, so you have just a little bit of time to watch, how many were there? 6 episodes of season 7 from the X-Files if you want to join us for part 11 of Excavating the X-Files, which we've now been doing for over 2 years. We're kind of rushing through these last couple seasons because
we're kind of sick of it.
Well, I'll be honest, and maybe I'll say this on the next episode. This is making me like X-Files all over again. I'm back into it, but I'm not sick of it. But when it gets to these last two seasons, Mulder's gone, and
there's some good episodes in this one.
Yeah,
but
I was going to say the revival is right around the corner, so we don't have time to dilly dally. We have to fast forward. But in case you are interested in joining us, you have to watch episodes 1, 2, 10, 11, 15, and 22 of season 7.
Right.
If you haven't been keeping up, though, with us, just give up.
Yeah.
We're about to do part 11, and I'm not sure if it's worth it for you to watch all those episodes. Unless you watch them in the past and just want to listen to us dissect, I think that's a good strategy.
Right.
So, Ben, wow. Nancy Drew, top news.
Well, let's do top news, and then I have something for you again. Okay, Nancy Drew, the female version of the Hardy Boys, but she's going to get a new TV show, and it's going to be on CBS. So now that CSI is ending, I guess they need to go to Nancy Drew. She's going to be 30 years old, but still sleuthing it up.
Oh, nice.
No word yet on the Hardy Boys. Matt, did you ever read the Hardy Boys? Nancy Drew?
This might be crazy, but I've never read one book of either of those series.
I think at this point you probably can skip it.
I don't think I'll go back and catch up.
I read many Hardy Boys.
Excavating the Hardy Boys and other news.
There's like 200 of
those. You think I'll go back through those?
No. Well, I think I've shared my Hardy Boys series story before.
I think you have, but do you want to tell it
again? Well, I can just briefly recap it. That was like, you know, I've talked about moments that broke me and made me the cynical, angry consumer of media that I am. Like, Pirates of the Caribbean 3 was one of those that really broke me. But maybe the first one, this was like my loss of innocence, was when I had really gotten into the Hardy Boys, and I was thrilled. Like, I got to the point where I could read through a whole Hardy Boys book in a day, and I was just pouring through them, getting them from the library, going to town on the Hardy Boys, so to speak. And I realized halfway through one of the books that I knew exactly what the plot was going to be, because every plot was exactly the same.
Give us the breakdown.
Well, I don't remember it, but it was like, you know, there's going to be some kind of betrayal or whatever. And then but I just remember it clicking, and like I was probably like 11, 12, something like that.
Oh, no.
And it clicked in my brain that every one of these plots is exactly the same. So I finished out that one. It matched. I thought through a few others that I'd read. Done with the Hardy Boys.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was it.
It broke me.
That was the origin.
That was the beginning.
The origin of Ben DiBono.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
But I never read Nancy Drew.
Now's the time.
Well, I imagine since it's on CBS that pattern will probably hold.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't anticipate watching this, but I do like how you were able to rhyme it into our news episode.
Oh, that's sweet. I don't think anybody listening actually cares about Nancy Drew. We just wanted to rhyme.
All right. So, Ben, you came in, you set some things down, and you said, don't look at this. So I was like,
but
what?
I think you saw it anyway.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
So you said, so I asked you, did you bring me another present?
Because I did.
You just got me a present a couple weeks ago. I mean, your birthday is next week, 30th birthday.
Yeah.
I haven't got you anything yet.
Well,
so
that's okay.
Next Tuesday. Wait.
Yeah, it's next Monday.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I have you on my calendar over there.
Right.
So next Monday is your birthday. Next Tuesday we'll record.
Yes.
But I guess for a pre-birthday celebration, what do you got for me?
That's right. Well, see, like I was kind of telling you off air that my Tuesday schedule has changed, and I now have at least a half hour free time on Tuesday afternoons where I'm not at home. I've already left home. Like, my daughter has piano lessons, and so I've already left home. My wife has got my daughter, and so it's just me. I got to find something to do to fill about a half hour, 45 minutes before I can come here. And, you know, outside of the obvious things like drive here and eat dinner and all that. Mm-hmm. So I've been going to Half Price Books. I actually found this isn't your present, but I found two old copies of the Divine Comedy there. Mm. Those were pretty sweet.
Which Half Price Books do you go to?
Oh, I hit them all up.
Okay.
Like, not all in one day, but right. A couple weeks ago, I went to the one over here in Roseville. Yeah. Today, I went to the one in Coon Rapids.
Okay,
because,
cool.
You know, you don't want to go to the same one every day.
Totally.
Yeah, you got to mix it up with your half-price books.
Yeah, use bookstores.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily circulate new material every week.
That's right.
Yeah.
I actually bought the Blu-ray of Ex Machina, which was movie
that's on your list.
It's on my list, and it was going to be about the same price to buy it as it was used as it was to rent it. So now I've got Ex Machina. I'm looking forward to watching that. Anyway, so there I was, and I had a mission at Half Price Books.
Wow.
That mission was...
He's reaching down. He's got something for me. What is it?
A little Shakespeare action for you.
Oh, wow. You really want me to get into this?
Well, it's just, you know, I had to get you the right edition.
Okay. Now, in my hand, I'm holding Macbeth, which we've been talking about for a couple weeks now. And in my left hand, I have King Lear. And this is your favorite, right?
I alternate between King Lear and Hamlet. Yeah. But yeah. No, so I got you these because it's kind of like Paradise Lost. It's not so much a burning desire to get Matt a present, though I do enjoy giving you presents.
Okay.
It's more that I don't want you to go onto Amazon or something and get like the version without any notes or whatever. Like, I want you to have a positive experience reading Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And so there's a balance between editions that are like, you know, free on Amazon, but they don't have any notes, and that's not going to be a positive experience for you. And who knows what the library has. And then there's editions that have so many notes they're going to be overwhelming, and so here I have two Folger Shakespeare Library, which I think are good, the solid notes, but not overwhelming with their level of density.
Man.
So I want you to enjoy Shakespeare, and knowing that you're probably going to just go to the library and get it. It's like, I don't know what the library has. I don't trust the library.
So you want
I don't
control.
Trust your Shakespearean education to the library.
You're censoring my Shakespeare intake.
No, guiding it.
In a good way.
Yeah, guiding it.
No, I appreciate this. This is great. I probably will lead off with King Lear because obviously I have read Macbeth audiobook-wise.
Right.
This is good.
You should go back to Macbeth before the movie comes out.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
Although I do have a few different things on my to-read list. Have I told you about... I don't think I've told you this on the air. Maybe we've talked about it off air, but do you know about my 2016 goal?
No.
I have a pretty big goal.
100 books?
Well, not in count-wise, but okay, so I'll give you a quick backstory.
Okay.
Let's say a year and a half ago, I signed up with the local library, which is actually one of our old co-hosts, Daniel Butcher, told me about this library. They have a massive backlog of graphic novels and comic books.
All right.
And so I've been able to catch up a lot on some of the recent storytelling, which then led to some other podcast appearances that I often talk about. Okay.
Yeah.
So
2016, twice as many graphic novels.
Just let me hear me out.
Okay.
So I've realized, though, even though my book reading is at an all-time high,
with
the combination of audiobooks and the written word, I could do even better, and there's even more I want to do. So starting 2016, I'm not saying I'm not reading any comics. I'm just going to drastically cut back.
Wow.
Unless they're ones that I own, which I haven't read yet. And because you know how everybody has books that they own that they haven't read. So I kind of want to go through my personal shelf of comics. So I anticipate if you're on Goodreads, as Ben and I are, and you're seeing me putting up comics, it's probably ones that at some point I purchased or got cheap or was given. I'm not anticipating using the library a lot in 2016 because the bigger goal is this. And I invite the listeners to join me, and even you, Ben, if you want to.
Right.
I have already done this. I've alphabetized every book that I personally own by author.
Okay.
So I'm going to start at the top, start at A's.
Start at the A's.
And when I pick up that book off the shelf, I'm going to say, do I want to read this or do I want to just get rid of it? Because if I'm not willing to read it right then, I'm not going to keep it even on my shelf.
Okay.
And I'm going to read, and this is, I anticipate this will be a 2-year goal. So again, listeners, I invite you to join me in this because.
And these are books you haven't read yet. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So just to reiterate this, everybody out there, I'm sure you love buying, well, if you're a reader, you love buying books and you keep on buying books, even though you have so many you haven't actually read that you own.
Right.
So I want to stop that. I don't want to have a bunch of stuff around just to collect dust and that I've never read. So I'm going to either read it or sell it at a used bookstore.
Yeah.
And all the money then that I get from selling it will go to maybe the ministry that Ben and I are raising money for the Sci-Fi Christian, or maybe some other ministry thing, but it'll be going to good. I don't know where it will go.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I'm inviting you guys out there, listeners, as we've been encouraging you, if you heard episode 400, starting in 2016, Ben and I are going to be making available on our website a link to a ministry, and this is yet to be named. I kind of have an idea, but it's not official yet. We're going to be raising money for a different cause rather than donations. A lot of times people will send us for the podcast donations.
Not a lot of times.
We don't want that in 2016. We want donations to something else. So we're going to be able to keep track how much money did the Sci-Fi Christian audience raise for this cause in 2016. So if you want to join me in this, go through your books, alphabetize them, or whatever, however you want to organize them. Go through one by one, either read it or sell it at a used bookstore, and then use that money for good.
Now, I'm not going to ask, is Shakespeare going to be put on the sell pile or the read pile? We'll just have to wait till 2016 to find out. Yeah.
But again, I understand this could be a huge goal for some people. And for me, I'd say it's a pretty medium to large goal. I don't have as many books as you probably.
Right.
But I do have quite a few. So I'm going to be harsh when I get to that row of Ted Decker books.
Oh.
That I purchased in abundance at one time that I never read. Am I going to sit down and read through them? Or am I going to say, sorry, Ted, you're off the shelf?
Yeah, sorry, Ted, you're dead.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited.
That's now, what about books you've maybe started but haven't read in a long time?
Well, this is actually going to really help. Now, for longtime fans, longtime listeners to the show, this will make more sense. But I used to take forever to read books. And put them aside for 2 years and then maybe pick it up again. This is going to help me cut through that because when I get to it on my shelf, if I don't feel like continuing it, if I've started it, then I can go to Goodreads and I'm going to start being okay with not finishing books.
Yeah.
I have to if I want to complete this goal.
You know, you can delete it on Goodreads and nobody ever knows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this whole goal of reading through every book that I have is going to help me. If I'm in the middle of a book, like let's say I'm in King Lear, and I'm like, this is not a winner.
I can't take it anymore.
I don't think that's going to be a case for that one. But for example,
right.
Then I'm just going to stop.
Stop your whining, Lear. I can't take it anymore.
I'll have some sort of rating system. Because I hate to rate books I haven't officially finished. So often I'll give them a 1 or a 2. A 2 if I can see some good in it, even though I didn't want to finish it. And a 1 if I'm just like, I'm done.
Right.
So I don't know. What do you think about all that?
I think you have come up with a brilliant idea, I'm going to join you.
You're going to do it. So yeah, organize your books however you want. I did alphabetize by last name for the author. Listeners, it would be awesome if you guys join us and we can have sort of a book cleaning revolution. Plus, again, this is not for us. This is not for Ben and myself. This is for a ministry. Probably the one I mentioned on episode 400 is going to be a water fund to raise money to make wells for places in other countries that don't have access to water. That's probably what we're looking at, but like I said, not official yet, but it will be official by the end of December.
Yeah, because I know I have books I own that I'm not going
to
read.
Yeah, I mean, how awesome would it be for you, me, the listeners, to sell those books and then give that money towards a good cause?
Right. You know what got me was, remember when Borders was closing a few years ago?
Yeah, oh, me yeah. too, yeah, completely.
That was a bad deal.
That's when I bought Flash Forward, the novel that the TV show is based on. I also, I bought some of the graphic novels I mentioned that I own that I haven't read yet. Yeah, you and I were just becoming friends when Border was closing.
Yeah.
Borders. So go on Goodreads. This is going to be fun. Ben and I are already there. You can search for us. Again, if you see comic books pop up, it may be from the library, but most likely it's one that I own that I'm finally getting to. I'm not going to say I'm done using the library for comics, but I'm going to drastically extremely cut back.
Awesome.
So 2016 is going to be awesome.
It's going to be a winner.
A big winner.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited.
I am too. I can't wait. And we do usually kick off the year with a books episode, so we'll do that. And do we usually have them fill out their book survey in the fall, or when do they do that?
I'll go back to last year, but we can always put that up during the hiatus.
Yeah, that's good. So during the hiatus, there'll be some sort of survey that you can fill out that will... I forgot what we even put on there, because
it was stuff like, how many books did you read this year? How many new authors? What was your favorite read? Blah, blah, blah. That type of stuff.
And then we do a books episode at the beginning of 2016.
Biggest surprise, biggest disappointment.
Yeah, how that happened is we used to try to put books into the end of the year listener appreciation jubilee, but we realized there are a lot of people reading, but not necessarily current books. So we still wanted to be able to talk about what we've been reading the last year, even if it wasn't a 2015 book or 2014, as the case may have been.
Right.
So watch for, man, lots of book action coming soon.
Oh, yeah. Lots of book action.
All right, Ben. Well, that's my big announcement. And I'd love if you guys join us. Let us know if you are. I mean, it will encourage us if we know you're out there also. So write us at feedback@thescificchristian.com and let us know if that's something that you're planning on joining us with.
Yeah.
All right, Ben. Well, we've got news. I have a lot of news since we skipped news last week. I'll try to make it quick. Do you want to just run through yours? How much do you have?
Yeah, I can lead off with a piece of news here.
Wait, you know what? Since we have X-Files coming up, let's do the old music.
All right. I've missed this. It's time for sci-fi news. Wait, that wasn't the X-Files. That was us singing It's Time to Excavate.
I know, but that's all I have on the soundboard now.
Oh.
Sorry.
I think we need to get that guy back.
Time for sci-fi news.
Anyway, I don't want to discourage anything you were just saying about your desire to not get comics from the libraries, but there is a new comic series coming out I think you're going to want to jump on, Matt.
Okay.
Maybe you've heard about this. It is Avatar. The Avatar universe. Not only is it getting three-ish sequels, it's also expanding into comic form. So how about that?
I will not be reading that. You know which comics I've heard have been really good quality-wise, but I haven't read that tie into a popular movie?
What's that?
The new Star Wars ones. There's a ton of Star Wars comics that have come up from Marvel in the recent months. One starring Darth Vader, one starring Leia, one that just continues on from the end of New Hope, one that continues on from the end of Return of the Jedi. They have one now. Chewbacca has his own comic.
Yeah, but see... And you know that whatever they write in there is only going to be good until they decide they want to make a movie that contradicts.
Well, they're saying that everything that happens in the comics is legit. It's part of canon.
I don't believe
they just announced. I don't know if it was today or earlier this week that the next new Star Wars comic series is going to be Obi-Wan and Anakin, a mini series taking place between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
Oh man. Who doesn't want to know more about that period of time?
I don't know. I'm kind of excited about reading these eventually, but now that I have my new goal, who knows when I'll get to those. Oh, Lando has his own comic?
Yeah.
There's an abundance.
Of course he does. He's Lando.
All right, what do you got next?
Hang on.
What happened?
I got this.
Oh.
I got it.
Oh, you found it.
It's time for sci-fi news.
And that brings you back.
Man, just like the old days. That's how we used to lead off.
What else
do we do? We do have a lot of new listeners, though. In fact, some of the people I know in real life, a shout out to a couple of my friends who do listen to the show. Jake. Hey, Jake.
Hi, Jake.
From Bible Study. Glad to have you listening. And also my friend Sam. Hey, Sam.
Hi, Sam.
Sam from work. A couple people. It's interesting when people in real life actually listen to the show. It makes me really question what I should be saying out loud for the whole internet to hear.
Oh, not me.
Yeah, no, not you. So shout out to some friends. But Sam was mentioning that even though I hadn't seen him in about a week, he's been listening to a lot of episodes as he's been traveling for work, and so he felt like we were hanging out. And I feel like that about you all the time, Ben.
I'm sure
because
you do.
When I'm editing the episodes, then re-listening, you and I don't necessarily talk throughout the whole week, but I feel connected
to
you.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, what do you got next?
A couple pieces of news that I think people might think, well, Ben would be excited about that, but I'm actually not. The first one is that, according to Drew Goddard, the studio wants a sequel to Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, I heard this.
Now, I loved Cabin in the Woods, so, like I said, people might naturally assume, well, Ben will be excited about that news, but I'm not, because it ended so perfectly. I thought that it wrapped up brilliantly. Whatever they do in the sequel is somehow going to diminish the ending of the first one and all the meta commentary that went along with that. That was part of what made that movie so great. So I'm going to go ahead and say, even though, you know, I'm open-minded to it, but overall initial reaction against it.
Okay. Yeah, I saw this news also. I think my first reaction was for it, but I wasn't sure how they were going to do it.
Yeah.
So I like standalone. I like the standaloneness of Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Second piece of news that I think people also think that I would be for, but again, I'm not, is that it has been confirmed that Star Wars The Force Awakens is going to feature the return of Admiral Ackbar.
Oh, that's right. If you remember, again, this goes way back to season one.
Yeah.
When I first met Ben, one of his favorite catchphrases was...
It's a trap.
Yeah, it's a trap. Still,
you know, I have a deep affection for Admiral Ackbar. He's not squirrel level, but he's up there. And here's the deal, though. So you'd think, like, again, like, kind of like you said, my initial reaction was, all right. But then I started thinking about it. Here's what makes Admiral Ackbar so great is that that's all he does.
Yeah.
It's a trap. And then he has like the little briefing scene earlier in the movie. Yeah. But he that's why he's iconic, is because he's this character who comes out of nowhere. He's not in either of the other two movies. He just shows up. He's in charge of the whole thing. Yeah. He says the most mind-numbingly obvious statement that you could possibly say in that moment. And that's what makes it great. It's like that line is what makes Ackbar great. And the more you add to that, then the more it's going to diminish. And so I'm against it for that reason. I'm also against it because then it just makes me feel like nobody at Disney is really thinking through this. They're thinking, oh, Admiral Ackbar is really popular because, you know, the It's a Trap thing isn't just, you know, I'm not the only one who likes it. Like, that's a big internet thing. And so, oh, we got to find a way to bring him back. No, no, no. Stop and think about why he's popular. He's not popular because we all have a deep affection for Admiral Ackbar as a character. Like, we know nothing about his character. Absolutely nothing. He has zero character development. He's only there because it's hilarious for whatever weird internet way. It's just incredibly funny when he just yells out, "It's a trap!" And, you know, and that's it. So don't bring him back. Just let him be that.
Man, I didn't agree at first, and now I can see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Totally.
It's like they're going to take this iconic moment and dilute it. I don't want to see how Admiral Ackbar grew up. I don't want to see him arguing with his dad or, you know, oh, let me drive the car, Dad. No, you know, I don't want to see that.
That's how we learned it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, well, wait, I mean, Force Awakens takes place 30 years later, so he was already kind of an older character.
Well, we don't know the lifespan of
that's true.
Of, whatever he is. Mon Calamari.
Calamari, that's squid.
Yeah, I know. That's what he is. It doesn't make any sense.
All right. Well, I thought you would like this news, so I guess...
So did I, and then I... No. No, this is wrong.
Well, you might be right. And in case you're interested in our upcoming schedule, next week we are again skipping news, and we're going to talk about Back to the Future. That episode's being released on October 21st, 2015. How cool is that? If you've ever seen Back to the Future 2, you know why that date's important.
And if you haven't, you probably don't care and aren't going to listen to the episode.
So I'll be preparing that episode, and Ben will be preparing a book episode where we talk about the book I recently read called Anathem.
Yeah.
Ben read it a couple years back.
Re-listened to it this
summer. Just re-listened to it, so we'll be doing kind of a double feature next week. Then we'll come back with news in 2 weeks and talk about Star Wars.
That's right.
And it's a surprise what we're going to talk about, so just
even
wait.
Even to us.
No, we know.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's happening.
Yeah.
All right, continue on, Ben.
Do you want to get some news in?
Can I get in some?
Yeah, go for it.
Marvel is developing another TV show for ABC. This one, a half-hour comedy series called Damage Control. Now, this is based on a comic. Do you know who Damage Control is?
Nope.
Well, you know how when, let's think back to the first Avengers movie, the city, New York City is attacked by aliens and there's lots of damage to buildings. Well, in the Marvel comic universe, they established that the people that go and clean up that mess is a group called Damage Control. So every, you know, there's a big superhero battle, somebody's got to clean up that mess, Damage Control cleans up that mess.
Right.
So that's being turned into a half hour TV show.
So I did read that story. Here's my deal with that, is that that's a funny concept, but it's a funny concept for maybe an SNL skit or a 90-minute movie. I can't imagine how you're going to turn what's essentially just a joke of who cleans up all this stuff into a multi-season show.
Plus, it's going to be, as far as I can understand this article, it'll be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right. Which that doesn't make much sense either.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Well, speaking of spinoffs, I guess Doctor Who is getting one.
Yes.
I'm not going to watch it.
Did you hear any details about it?
I think it's like a teen thing.
Yeah.
Appeal to that young adult audience.
Let me see. I had the article already, but it doesn't give a lot of information. But yeah, you're right. It's going to be sort of a...
It's called Class.
Hunger Games-ish, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Not in the fact that kids are killing kids like Hunger Games, but more like, yeah, the teenage
right
type thing. That's all I've got, too. Sorry. I thought I had more here.
No, we're good.
That is all. So yeah. Watch for that. I don't have any idea which characters are going to be there from the spinoff, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got some news here.
Okay.
Looks like... Much like Sony is developing a Spider-Man animated movie universe.
Right.
On top of the Spider-Man live action movie universe that Sony is doing with Marvel. Okay, now you know that's happening.
I'm tracking.
Okay. Well, you also remember that there is going to be a Ghostbusters cinematic universe with both a female and male led team.
Okay.
Well, Sony is also now developing a Ghostbusters animated movie. Ben's shaking his head.
I don't want it. I just don't want anything to do with it.
The movie's being developed by Ivan Reitman, and if I understand this correctly, he was the guy that was involved with the 1986 Ghostbusters cartoon, The Real Ghostbusters.
Yeah. He did Men in Black, too.
Just Men in Black, too?
No. Men in Black also.
All right, so watch for that. If you liked... I watched that Ghostbusters cartoon growing up. I mean, some people have a fondness for it. I don't think I have, but I watched it.
No, I don't care for Ghostbusters.
All right.
I mean, in real life, I suppose they'd be okay, but not the movie.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is going to be voicing a new villain in the cartoon Star Wars Rebels.
Okay.
I'm just kind of naming off.
Still looking for that Buffy follow-up.
Yeah. There's been some conflicting news. Not conflicting. I think it might be actually changing within the studio. First, it sounded like the Terminator Genesis sequel was placed on indefinite hold.
Right.
And then somebody from the studio said, well, it's still on the table, but it was really ambiguous on when
right
it could be making its return.
Now, you remember when it was first announced they were going to go ahead with the sequels, I was dubious. Well, I went out to Box Office Mojo and... That thing made like $400 million overseas. Oh, so,
well,
you're the only person in this country who liked it.
I liked it. Yeah. I'm for this. Let me read a few quotes from the studio. This is from producer Dana Goldberg. There's going to be she says, I wouldn't say on hold so much as readjusting. Okay, now the article says, the comments regarding the domestic numbers are interesting. A rather crass way of measuring a film's financial success a few years ago was to see if it broke $100 million at the domestic box office. Keeping its budget in mind, Terminator Genesis didn't even do that this summer. It would appear most people in the United States aren't as nostalgic for the fifth or sixth Terminator movie, but Goldberg does make the point that others are. Here's a couple quotes from her. Happily, we live in a world where the domestic numbers had a level of importance 10 or 15 years ago. I'm not saying it's not important, and it is, but we have to play to a worldwide market. In terms of Terminator, the worldwide market paid attention, but we're not taking the domestic numbers lightly. We will use data and research to do a worldwide study and really talk to audiences about what they loved and what maybe didn't work for them, so that the next we take with the franchise is the right one. I think there was a word there.
Next step,
I bet
probably.
It was step.
Yeah.
The next step we take with the franchise is the right one. I like this. I'm for it. Ben?
No.
I kind of figured you wouldn't be, but I like this news.
Well.
This sounds like a good plan.
You and all the people in Africa who went and saw this movie.
I think
nobody hears it.
I think it was China.
Oh, yeah.
That's
why we keep having Transformers movies, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Come on, China.
I'm going to put my foot down on Transformers. Next time Ryan, my old roommate, asks me to go to the Transformers movies, I'm going to say, sorry, Ryan.
Well, that's good.
I can't.
Because they have it mapped out for 5, 6, 7, and 8. Now, we'd known a little bit about this, but now that, we've got a plan.
Yeah. Like,
What I don't get is why they're even bothering to pretend like they have this brilliant plan mapped out. You know that What's Transformers 5 going to be about? Well, it's going to be about a bunch of dumb robots hitting each other with CGI. Oh, and then we're going to try and add in some stupid human drama that nobody's going to care about with bad acting. And same thing with 6, same thing with 7, same thing with 8. Nobody likes these movies. I know there's people who think they do, but nobody actually likes these movies. Stop making them. And China, stop going to them. Actually, you know what I learned about China?
What?
And movies?
What?
Listening to Mark Kermode's book. He was talking about, and I'd have to go back and double check what the exact figures are, but the Chinese government is very has strict quotas on how many foreign films are allowed to show at any one time.
Hmm.
And so, because of that, they only get a handful of American films. And because of the lobbying power of studios, they're getting stuff like Transformers, like Terminator. So
Age
it's not
Ultron.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. They don't have the kind of selection that you might expect. So, to a certain extent, it's more a limiting factor in terms of the availability than anything else.
Interesting. I hadn't known that. That's interesting.
So I guess that lets the Chinese off the hook a little, but you guys can still stay home, read a book.
All right. Well, the official word has come out on why the director Rupert Wyatt had left the Gambit movie.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it.
They're trying to be more politically correct, and they just said there's a scheduling conflict.
Right.
Now, Ben, the
reason
I don't believe this excuse is because a lot of planning and time goes into orchestrating when is a movie going to film, who's the director, how can we get this actor to be in it when he's doing these other movies.
Yeah.
So right before the movie starts filming, they're like, I just realized I double booked. Sorry
it's my
about
wife's
that.
Birthday that day. I can't make it.
So
yeah, that's a lie.
That is a lie. That's certainly a lie.
Unless the scheduling conflict is he's now sitting at home being angry at Marvel and Fox, and that's on his schedule.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got next?
Well, did you ever watch the Lethal Weapon series?
Never. I've never seen one of those movies.
I saw the second one, and I don't remember caring for it very much. Anyway, it's going to be a TV show now, so I'm pretty sure I'll be able to not care about it all over again.
What channel is it going to be on? Do you have any idea?
Fox.
Hmm, that's weird news.
Yeah.
There's also a MacGyver reboot in the works. And I love MacGyver, but it's in the works at CBS, and I hate CBS.
I've never watched MacGyver, but isn't the charm of some of those shows like their nostalgic value, the time they were made? So it's not like, oh, I like MacGyver. Well, but part of what you like about MacGyver is it's this old 70s, 80s, whenever it was on show.
It was 80s and 90s, I think.
Yeah, okay.
And from my childhood. And right. Yeah, I watched it with my family. I remember sitting there with my grandparents and watching that show.
Exactly. So it's not like MacGyver Reborn or whatever they call it. It's going to be just the same thing all over again. It's not going to recapture that.
Hey, I got a Heroes Reborn update for you. No, listen, I think I haven't watched another minute of it since we last recorded. I'm not against watching more. I just haven't had time. Oh, speaking of not having time, I mean, I still haven't been able to officially pull the trigger on this decision in my mind.
Okay.
But because I've been having such a hard time figuring out how am I going to watch all these shows I want to watch, and I've mentioned this on the show, but if I decide not to watch the Arrowverse shows, that's 3 hours of television a week off the table. So that'd be Arrow, Flash, and the upcoming Legends of Tomorrow. I am basically almost there, ready to say.
Do it.
I haven't watched the first episode of Arrow yet, and I've seen only 10 minutes of the first episode of Flash, and I haven't had time to go back to it, which is why it's become even more easy to make this decision. So I think I'm about to step away from the Arrowverse until maybe down the road on Netflix I can go through the episodes a little quicker.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I say you do it.
Just
if you're on the fence about a show, and especially if it's a long season show, why would you? You
know? Plus, especially with this book goal. I'm not going to have time for 3 hours of TV.
Yeah, you've got some reading to do,
mister.
You've
got some reading to do.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get rid of all those Ted Decker books I've had for years. I used to work at a Christian bookstore, and I was really into Ted Decker for about 3 years, and I just bought up everything that he ever put out.
Yeah.
So I have all of his books between 2000 and 2007, which doesn't sound like a long time, but he got a lot out in that window. Yeah. So, and then a few years past that, I was like, okay, I know I'm going to read this eventually, so I'm just going to buy it.
Right.
So I've just been sitting there.
You know what gets me nowadays? Because I tend to not buy physical books unless I want to have them on my bookshelf. Like, you know, the copies of Dante I bought today when I was at Half Price Books. I want to have those on my bookshelf. But
why did you buy extra? Just you want to have another resource?
Well, no, it's a different translation.
Okay.
Yeah, so I want to buy different translations. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's something like that. I want to buy it physically. Otherwise, I buy it for my Kindle or Audible. Well, here's what trips me up nowadays. It's like Kindle and Audible both have daily deals where they'll have like a Kindle will have a book on sale for $2 or whatever. Audible will be $3-4. And a lot of the time they're crap, but every now and then you get something that looks really good. And so it's like, man, I might want to listen to that or read that at some point. And right now it's $2-3. I should go ahead and get that. Yeah, that's what trips me up nowadays. And you can't take your Kindle books to Half Price Books.
No.
I tried. No.
You got to watch out for that. Yeah. I have a few books I've purchased on Kindle that I haven't got to, but that's not really my focus for this next year.
Right.
My focus is getting the physical form off of my shelf. And I'm thinking long term. Des and I right now live in an apartment here, and we have only one little child who's taking up so much room.
Right.
So when she grows older, even if we only have one kid,
she might not want us to record in her room.
She might not want us to record next to her crib. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing eventually we're going to move.
Yeah.
And so that's also part of it with all these books. I don't want to repack all those books up unless I want to keep them.
Right.
So for sure, this goal is going to be finished by the time I move, hopefully.
I like that goal.
Can I real quick mention that I was on a different podcast this past weekend?
Again?
Sorry. I saw the movie The Martian.
Been getting good reviews.
Yep, I liked it quite a bit, and was on a podcast called Take Me to Your Reader. And on this podcast, they don't put out that many episodes because for every episode, they've read a book and then seen the movie that was made from it.
Yeah.
So I think they said they do one or two a month, but you can find them at pavementpodcast.com. I don't know when it's going to be released. I don't think it's out quite yet.
Is it only new movies?
No, it's actually rarely new movies.
Okay, guys, if you're listening to this, most of Stanley Kubrick's movies were based on books. So when you want to do one of those, you just get in touch with old Ben here.
Okay.
And I want to come on the show and do a Stanley Kubrick. I'm inviting myself onto your show. Do they listen to our show?
I hope so. No, okay. I think at minimum Seth does. You'll remember Seth who writes
Seth,
in.
Yeah,
Seth was
absolutely.
One of the hosts of that show. So.
All right, Seth. There's your challenge.
All right. There it is. You heard it here first. So watch for my podcast. Well, not mine, but my appearance on their podcast about The Martian. I read the book and then saw the movie.
I like it.
All right. Pavementpodcast.com. Pavement, like running on the pavement, because they are a group of runners who I think they used to talk about books and movies. And they're like, hey, let's make this into a podcast.
Right.
So pavementpodcast.com.
Right. Yeah, I almost went to see The Martian this weekend when Andy and I were down in Mankato. Because we don't have the kids with us for the week. Oh, maybe we'll go see a movie. But the times didn't work out. So
yeah,
no Martian for me. I'll probably see it when it comes out. But.
Hey, I have a scheduling request for you.
Okay.
Because I know X-Files is going to take a while.
Yeah.
I say we get through the rest of this news fast.
All right,
do a little bit
of
listening.
We've been dilly-dallying.
But I like the conversations we're having. So I don't want to rush you. But I also... We need to make the most of the X-Files, because if you're going to invest, this will be our part 11. We don't want to undercut that. We can undercut news.
Yeah, we do.
It's easy to undercut news.
Maybe we undercut it a little. Okay, let me just blow through what I've got. All right. HBO is considering making Watchmen into a TV series and, for inexplicable reasons, bringing in Zack Snyder to do it all over again. Don't do it.
I don't get this either. Why? Yeah. What does he have to gain from this? He did the movie.
He already did it once. If you're going to remake Watchmen, bring in someone else.
Yeah.
Stupid. Marvel, Ant-Man 2 is going to be called Ant-Man and the Wasp. Who cares?
I'm for it.
Yeah, whatever.
I think that's good news.
Okay, that's it.
Dr. Horrible 2 news. Joss Whedon has been saying very little about this movie so far, but people keep on asking him questions about it. So we did get a little bit of news coming out of New York Comic Con. So here's what I have. The sequel, whenever it happens, will expand upon the universe we already know, and the actors are all pretty much on board to reprise their roles. As for the plot, now this is what I want to talk about with you.
Okay.
Joss Whedon says, I just had the quote there, and then I pushed on the button and it went away.
Oh, man.
Joss Whedon says, he's just going to fight Ultron. I'm just going to do that until I get it right. That's bad news. You were right, though. A while back, you mentioned that more and more Joss Whedon is getting a little bit more comfortable talking bad about Marvel.
Yeah.
And now he's just all in.
Like, he's all in.
I'm just going to do that until I get it right. So I think he hated Age of Ultron.
I think so.
Well, at least how it turned out. Yep. I did buy that Blu-ray. I wanted to see some of the extra features and his commentary to see what he actually had in mind. And I'll let you know if anything noteworthy comes from that.
Okay.
What else you got?
That's it.
Oh, yep. Okay. Expendables 4 is going to start filming in 2016 for a 2017 release against it.
Oh, Pee-wee Herman's going to be the Penguin's dad on Gotham.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of weird. Disney's live-action Cruella is starting to be scripted. So another,
are you kidding me?
I know.
This is so dumb.
We need to pick
enough.
We need to make a list of all of the live-action Disney movies we've covered on this show in the last, just since the beginning of this year, and then make fun of all of them, because there's an abundance. So there is some speculation. You had mentioned Ant-Man and the Wasp. There's some speculation that by adding this into the middle of Phase 3 and moving things around a little bit, that the movie at the end of their whole schedule so far, The Inhumans, might be getting bumped from the schedule altogether because The Inhumans storyline is already playing a part in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So they're now questioning, do we need to do this in movie form or can we just do it all on television? And as we've covered on the show, the movie side of Marvel and the TV side are slowly moving apart,
right,
thanks to some leadership shakeups. So I don't know what's going to happen. That's not official, but I think there's a pretty good chance they might cancel the Inhumans movie, which would have starred such characters as Black Bolt, Medusa, Crystal, and I don't think I know any other Inhumans.
Other Inhumans.
All right. Terry Gilliam says a Time Bandits TV series is in the works.
Okay. I think that's on my list of stuff to watch
before
450.
The movie is, yeah. Seth Graham Smith was hired to be the director of The Flash. I think he's a funny writer, but I don't know how he'll do as a director.
Right.
We also found out this week that, now this is not the TV show again, this is the movie that's coming out in a couple years. In that movie, The Flash is going to have a more tech-based costume than he traditionally does. I'm against that. I think he should stick with what he has. Ever since our first season of The Sci-Fi Christian, we've been covering this thing that Guillermo del Toro has been trying to put together, this movie called Justice League Dark.
Right.
Or it's had different names, but essentially it's kind of a magic-based superhero team. It sounded like it was canceled, but now we're hearing a rumor this week that it's back and possibly even going to start production next year. I don't know. Are you buying this? Do you think this one's dead?
No, it's dead.
I think so, too.
You know, I have mixed feelings about Guillermo del Toro, but I got to say his new movie looks kind of interesting. I mean, you're not a horror fan, so
no,
it's probably not for you.
That's the Crimson Peak?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that one.
I might, if the reviews are good, I might want to check that out. Not in theaters, but at some
if you
point.
Do check it out. Oh, if you do a theater review, do a Sci-Fi Christian video so we can get that out there. We don't do a lot of those movie reviews.
No.
Zoe Saldana, who is a cast member of Guardians of the Galaxy,
Avatar.
That's right. She's confirmed that Benicio del Toro will be returning for the sequel that was unconfirmed until then. So thanks for spoiling that. I don't mind. I'm not saying that.
Wait, for which one?
He's the Collector. He'll be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, I was thinking Guillermo del Toro.
No, Benicio.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really
mind. Mixed up my del Toros.
That's right. I don't mind that she brought this up. Some people have speculated that, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, that he may have a bigger part to play in the grander story. That's all I'll say about that. Let's see. Oh, man, I've got the best last news of the day, and I'm going to actually open it up, and then you take it, because I know you know about it. So I only got, let's see. Oh, boy, quite a bit left. I'll run through this.
Oh, let's save it for...
Rumor of the day.
Okay.
Hulk might appear in Thor 3 called Thor Ragnarok.
All right.
I think I'm for that. Yeah. I like that combo. Enchanted, the live-action movie, looks like the sequel is probably happening. I don't know. It says Enchanted sequel heating up, whatever that
is. No one wants to see that.
Amazon has picked up a Jack Ryan series.
Have we covered this?
No, I don't think we did.
Yeah, we talked about Jack Ryan.
Who's going to be behind it then?
I don't know.
My man from Lost, Carlton Cuse, along with Michael Bay. Dang it.
That's a match made in heaven.
Let's see. Marvel's Daredevil, we found out, the TV show, was originally pitched as a movie by Drew Goddard. I don't know if I knew that. That's interesting. All right, Ben, I think we've reached the end of my news other than last news today. No, Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill is returning as the Joker for the animated adaptation Batman the Killing Joke.
That guy's such a liar. Yeah. It's my last time.
How many times has he said it's his last time? Oh, a few, right?
Yeah.
And another really interesting thing about this is, like I said, an animated movie. It has been approved to have an R rating.
All right.
And for this material, I think it would need an R rating. So
I think so.
I don't know if I'd watch this, though. Not because of the R. I was disturbed by reading this book, and I don't know if I want to see it in visual form.
Well, you're supposed to be disturbed by it.
I guess comics are visual forms.
That's true.
You know what I mean. Movie form. All right, Ben, last news of the day.
Last news of the day.
Let me tee this up for you.
Okay.
Because you had a whole Facebook status about it. In honor of the 10th anniversary of Twilight.
Oh, how could I have forgotten this?
Author Stephanie Meyer is releasing a new version in which the genders are swapped between the main characters.
This is so stupid. So she's essentially written a new novel, the extent of which is that she opened up her word processor and did find and replace on he, she, Bella, and Edward. So stupid. And at first I was annoyed with her, and then I started thinking about it. And you know what? If your fans are dumb enough where they'll pay for this, why not cash in? Why not? More power to her. Fine. If she has fans so stupid where they're going to go and pay for this, and you know they will, and she'll get a movie deal out of it. You know she will.
Well, I was going to ask about that. Do you think we're going to see a reverse Twilight movie?
Oh, yeah. They'll get Kristen Stewart and our Pats back together again.
No. So instead of Edward, we're going to have Edith. And instead of Bella, we're going to have Bo.
This is the laziest level of storytelling and I've ever seen. And this comes from... it's so bad. It's so bad. Like, there's nothing redeemable about Twilight before this. And it looks like a masterpiece now in comparison to what she's doing. This is like... You know, for... And it's not just her. I'm so sick of authors doing this. J.K. Rowling going on Twitter and, like, announcing new details of the Harry Potter. Like, guess what house James Potter got sorted into? If you want us to know, write a book. Don't be lazy. Quit with your crap. Move on with your life.
Oh, they do have a title for it, and it's stupid. Life and Death, Twilight Reimagined.
So dumb. So dumb.
Oh, man.
Please do not buy this.
I won't.
I know you won't. Okay. I'm talking to the sci-fi Christian world. Do not buy this. Because even though I say more power to her, she needs to learn that, no, people actually won't cash in. Because if this works, then you will see a slew of this crap. Do not buy this. If you already own Twilight, you own the book. Already, all you have to do is shut your eyes, and when it says she, just have your mind go he, and when it says Edward, just have your mind go Edith, and you have the book. And if that's too hard, you can go through a copy of your book with a magic marker and do this edition yourself. Do not buy this.
All right. You know, I'm not sure if they're going to do this, but what would be interesting if they swap all the genders, so every character.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the plan.
How do you think Edward's going to get pregnant?
I think that's going to be a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do a couple pieces of listener feedback here.
Okay.
I had a nice one here from Shannon. Shannon wrote in and said, "Great job, guys. I'm glad I stumbled upon your podcast while searching in my podcast app for podcasts on theology. So far in the past 2 weeks, I've probably listened to 20 of your shows. My most favorite so far was the episode on Mark. I thought your presentation was brilliant. The Dante episodes were great as well. It's so nice to have a show that you can have a serious theological episode, and the next show will be how Disney stinks. Love it. Thanks, guys."
Well, I think that Disney stinks is an important theological point. I don't know if those are two different things, but thank you, Shannon.
Let's see. Got one here from, and you got this one too. Do you want to read the one from Jordan? This will be the last one of the night.
Do
you want me to forward it to you real quick?
Or? Well, I have it somewhere.
Here, I'll bring it to your Facebook because it's a little bit longer, so we can take turns reading it. Here, open your Facebook.
I've got it right here.
All right.
Mark, Battlestar Galactica, and pronunciation. So congratulations on reaching your 400th episode. The achievement is epic. This email comes slightly belated, so refers to a few episodes. I'll read the first paragraph and we can switch off. Firstly, the one on Mark. I loved it. I really think it's one of your best episodes to date. I would also vote for it for the end of the year, Jubilee. An all-around knockout episode. It's also awesome that you studied under Boberts. That's my professor, Charles Boberts, who I was referencing in that episode. I've recently been making reference to the book he edited, Reading in Christian Communities, for my thesis, so I did a double take when his name came up. That's a cool connection.
Yeah, that's cool.
Something occurred to me while listening, though since I'm not a New Testament scholar by any stretch, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. Namely, history writing in antiquity is different from their science writing. Ancient historiography definitely does exist and is much closer to our historiography, unlike their conceptions of writing, science, which are vastly different from ours. It's also safe to say that Mark isn't participating in ancient historiography. Whatever their conceptions of writing history, Mark isn't using them, but how does that change our reading of Luke? Luke does seem to be drawing on historiographical conventions and approaches, since he does, unless I'm mistaken, draw from Mark. Should we read his gospel in a different light as well? I don't know. I'd have to ponder that. I haven't studied Luke like I've studied Mark. And I don't know. I think that I'd be interested to talk to you more about this, Jordan, even if it's just one-on-one, because I think that I would say that you're right. Well, obviously you're right that their history is closer to our history than that it's not an exact comparison of our science versus ancient science. At the same time, I'm not sure that it's there's still a difference, I guess I would say. And I'd be curious to maybe hear some additional thoughts from you on that, like I said, even if it's just one-on-one. Because I do think that Mark is writing history to an extent. You know, he's obviously, one of the things I argued and that Charles Boberts is arguing, is that he's writing about the history of the Christian community. He's writing about the history of Christ as the Messiah, proving the resurrection. There's a lot of things going on there. And I would say history is a part of it. But I don't know. I mean, it's you even go into the Old Testament, and yes, there's obviously history. The Old Testament is arguing for the historical existence of characters like Moses, David, the kings, and all of that. But, you know, if you study your Old Testament history, a lot of the Old Testament is shows signs of being edited post-exile. And so history, to an extent in the ancient world, I think, is mediated a bit through some of those lenses, through experiences of the community. It's not quite as documentary as modern history at least attempts to be. At least that's my impression. But Jordan, you are infinitely more knowledgeable than I am when it comes to academic matters, so I would defer to your arguments on this and be interested in discussing it with you.
I would as well. Yeah, definitely write in to us individually if you want to continue this conversation, or write into the so the audience can hear as well. So his second paragraph ties into something we mentioned on episode 400. We talked about Battlestar Galactica and how we hadn't done an episode on that quite yet, and Ben's actually seen it 3 full times. I've seen it just once, but here's what Jordan has to say. Secondly, regarding Battlestar Galactica, it's one of my favorite sci-fi shows, so I would love to hear an episode on it. There are numerous angles from which you could approach it. One would be to treat it as part of your virtual ethics series. It raises and explores a number of questions that would fit quite well with your other episodes on the subject. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Another approach would be to look at it narratively, especially the ending. Many people, as you know, were put off by the ending. I personally wasn't, but I'd watched the whole series on DVD over a fairly short time frame and thought they'd set up the ending from very early on. I think I agree with them about not being disappointed, and I also watched it over a short time frame, so maybe that it just depends on how much expectation you have.
Right.
Perhaps you could look at the question of deus ex machina endings, when it works for a story to invoke the hand of God and when it doesn't. That is a good idea.
Uh-huh.
That is one of the reasons why so much so-called Christian fiction fails, but it works for Battlestar Galactica, in my opinion. It also works reasonably well in Narnia, and it works especially well for Homer. There are, after all, numerous classical references throughout Battlestar Galactica, so you could discuss it in conjunction with the Odyssey. Yes?
I like yeah, that one you like? Some good ideas.
Finally, Matt's now famous mispronunciation was brilliant. I'd love to hear the uncensored version, but of course it makes sense if you don't want to circulate it. On that note, it reminded me of a similar incident, and then he attached a recording for Ben and I to listen to, which we won't be playing here. Keep up the excellent work. I, like so many others, would be sorely grieved to see the Sci-Fi Christian come to an end.
Yeah.
God bless, Jordan.
So what does Jordan, who's a close friend of ours, even, well, a friend of mine, because somebody didn't want to meet with him.
What was I doing that day? Would that work?
Just blowing him off.
No. He was in town, though.
He was in town. So, yeah, Jordan lives in Australia, but he and I actually got to hang out for the day, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And hopefully if he ever makes it back, you get to meet him, too.
Definitely.
He's a great guy. So given that he's a close personal friend of the Sci-Fi yes. Christian, has he earned the uncensored Zach Galifianakis pronunciation? I think he has.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anything could happen at the Sci-Fi Christian, everybody.
I think if you ever do quit, that's going to be the punishment. Is that needs to go out to the world. The final episode of the Sci-Fi Christian will just be that clip.
Well, everybody, thanks so much for joining us here on this extended news episode.
Yeah.
Next up, we have another extended episode all about the X-Files. Season 7, so watch those episodes. But that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians signing off.
All right, bye. Should we hop to it?
Hop to this?
Oh, yeah. How can you not hop to this?
Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the Sci-Fi Christian.
That's right.
You can find us at
feedback@thescifichristian.com.
No, that's how they email.
Right.
They can email us at
feedback@thescifichristian.com.
Or call us at
612-4121-SFC.
And you can always find us at our website, thescifichristian.com. We're on Twitter, @SciFiChristian. We're on Facebook, TheSciFiChristian. That's it.
YouTube. You always forget YouTube.
You're always throwing YouTube
under the bus.
That's the one that you're in charge of. That's right. Oh, yeah. Go look at our YouTube videos. We have an abundance of ones that Ben has put together.
Right.
And anytime me and him see a movie together, we sometimes will do a video about it.
Every time we see a movie, we sometimes do a video. I like it.
Well, so long, folks. Yeah.